on the one hand, we have a community, a population that is extremely vulnerable. Our indigenous population is the poorest population in the country. The poverty levels are the highest in Native American communities. As our panelists have talked about, education is a serious issue. And it's a national shame that this should be the case in the richest country in the world. On the other hand, there are issues that link all of us. Globalization, global warming. These are not obviously issues that are unique to indigenous communities, but they're issues that affect each and every one of us. The current financial crisis that is going on is a direct product of globalization. This credit crisis, this market collapse is a direct product of the integration of financial markets that is one of the key aspects of globalization. So we're all affected, and I think that you raised the question of, what do we do? I think that we all have to unite and work towards struggling around our rights. Disaster relief should not be a matter of charity. This is what the government is for. This is why we have government, is to protect people, to provide for people under these circumstances. We should not still be, struggling to clean out homes and do all the things that need to be done around Katrina or these recent hurricanes. So we have to demand of government that it play its role. We can't simply accept government saying, we are only responsible for so much. We as citizens have to do this. And finally, I just want to say about the cultural rights that have been raised consistently, and I think it's clear from the discussion that there's a key link between self-determination and culture. The conquistadores sought, first of all, to destroy culture. That is how you destroy a people's independence and a people's freedom. There are, in addition to some of the instruments that Professor Pruder pointed to, other treaties that the United States is a party to that specifically protect the right to culture. First of all, there's the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which in Article 27 protects the right to culture. There's the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which the United States is a party to and therefore is legally obligated to abide by. Again, Article 27 protects the right of ethnic, religious, or linguistic minorities, quote, to enjoy their own culture, to profess and practice their own religion, or to use their own language. There's also recognition in the international community that the right to use land is part of the right to culture. So the lifestyle that has been described, the question of fishing and hunting and so on, the property rights that are being violated, all of those rights are protected under international law. And as lawyers, we have to find ways to bring international law into our domestic jurisprudence. There are more and more Supreme Court decisions that are referring to international treaties, referring to other forms of international law. So this is the challenge of your generation. How do we utilize these mechanisms to fight for the rights of people who are being oppressed? And finally, there has been some litigation around the issue of cultural genocide. There have been cases brought in Australia, and there was a case right here in the Fifth Circuit. In Australia, the argument was rejected because it was based on the Genocide Convention, and the Australian courts found that it was not self-executing. That is, that you could not build a cause of action on that convention. In the Freeport-McMoRan case, which had to do with mining in Indonesia, the Fifth Circuit simply said that so far there's no universal recognition of a cause of action for cultural genocide. This is an area that is ripe for lawyers, creative lawyers, to begin to develop. We have more and more recognition of environmental rights, of legal status of environmental rights. And so this is simply a question of there just isn't enough jurisprudence, there just isn't enough law. These are challenges that you have as the new generation of lawyers who are obviously concerned about some of these issues. And finally, I'd just like to say, perhaps people can volunteer to help with some of these property rights issues, you know, using your legal expertise, such as it is so far, to help people negotiate some of these issues of land rights, and perhaps even the clinics can begin to litigate some of these issues. So I'd like to open the floor to questions. We have about 15 minutes.